And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. How you doing, Mickey?
Doing well, Rob. I'm in Vancouver. It's a lovely day. Good enough to get out and throw the baseball around.
Throwing the baseball around Stanley Park, and we're in the midst of a snowstorm here in Toronto, so it's a good time to be on the left coast of Canada, Mickey. You wanted to talk about a metal called vanadium, and I'm going to be upfront with you, Mickey. I've done some poking around, done some research, but if I had not done my homework, and you brought up vanadium in a conversation, I probably would have said to you, "Who is he? Who does he work for?" This is not a metal that gets a lot of attention, is it?
No, it doesn't. It's although it's not that uncommon a metal. It's 120 ppm in the Earth's crust, so that's probably about double the amount of copper. But it doesn't have a lot of uses. It's a kind of a soft, silvery gray, ductile, corrosion-resistant metal with a high melting point. And it's, because of its characteristics, it's used quite a lot in the steel industry. Mm-hmm. Discovered in 1801. It has a wide range of colors, and that's probably what makes it most famous, especially amongst mineral collectors. It occurs as 65 different minerals and lots of brightly colored crystalline habits that are famous, generally vanadinite, and any mineral collector will know the little orange and red vanadinites that occur.
Okay, well, I've read that 85% of vanadium is used in as a steel additive. It's compatible with iron and titanium, and the main purpose, I guess, being to strengthen steel. Does that translate into a large demand for this metal?
Not at all. There's something on the order of 55,000 to 65,000 tons used. I think last year was probably a record year, pushing 65,000 tons. Now, that's not a lot of material. It's produced as a byproduct from steel smelting. So it's they take the slag from steel smelting and reprocess it and extract the vanadium. It occurs in a few deposits worldwide where it's mined as a byproduct, basically, of iron and titanium mining. It occurs also in sandstone uranium deposits, especially in the Colorado Plateau, where it's a byproduct. And it is also recovered from flue dust and petroleum residues, fly ash from coal-burning power plants. It occurs a lot as a minor component of any kind of fossil fuel. That said, there are no primary vanadium mines in the world, so it's mm-hmm. either a byproduct of steel smelting or it's a co-product of something that is mined primarily for another metal.
Okay, so there's not a single mineral ore from which it's recovered, is that correct?
That's correct, although the majority of it is recovered as a byproduct of iron and titanium mm-hmm. mining, and it's basically the mineral magnetite and that has high contents of vanadium in it, and that's recovered in steel smelting.
Okay, what is the annual global production? Do we have a handle on that? And, you mentioned that there's not a great demand. At the same time, is there enough of this stuff available to meet the existing demand in the marketplace?
Well, the USGS says there's enough known resources right now to last into the 22nd century. The main producers are China, where it is recovered from steel smelting, South Africa, and Russia. Mm-hmm. And you add all those three up, and you've got something on the order of, about 90% of world production, 85 to 90%. You got a little bit coming out of Kazakhstan, a little bit out of Japan, some petroleum residues, and some little bit coming out of the U.S. from byproduct uranium mining. But basically, the known resources right now and the production that comes right now looks like to me to be sufficient to meet world demand for a long time.
Well, you mentioned into the next century. If I'm an investor, this sounds like a metal to just kind of turn a deaf ear to. Is that correct?
Well, I think so. It's essentially an oligarchy. You got a couple of companies in China that produce vanadium. You've got the Russians in eastern Russia produce a lot of vanadium. The South Africans, who are second in line, but the majority interest of the company that produces in South Africa is Russian-owned.
Mm-hmm.
So it's essentially one of these oligarchy sort of things, and to break into that market would be very, very difficult, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that there's no single mineral ore body from which this is extracted. What about juniors that might be involved in this space? Is it hard to pin down a company that's got a real focus on this metal right now?
Well, there's actually four juniors that are very focused on this, and without getting into any specifics per company, they just basically don't look like they have viable deposits. There's one company operating in Nevada that is projecting, it's a relatively new company, but they're projecting production sometime in the last quarter of 2012, and right now they're working on a feasibility study. So you kind of do the timelines, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. There's a company with a low-grade deposit in Madagascar that's got very difficult metallurgy. There's a company in northern Quebec that is going to try, and has been trying for a number of years now, to put a new iron titanium vanadium deposit into production. But I guess my point would be, how can you compete against the oligarchy that runs the business right now?
Yeah,
now,
my point would also be, why bother putting it into production? Why not move on and look for some other kind of metal when, you know, you indicated earlier in the interview that there's enough of this stuff out there to last us another 100 years. We don't need anything else.
Well, the point is, I mean, the whole market right now is being predicated on the idea that we're going to have this burgeoning demand for steel in the BRIC countries, if you mm-hmm. will. So there is one company with a deposit in Brazil, and certainly the demand for vanadium could increase. And then also there's a company that is promoting the idea we're going to have major demand for vanadium redox batteries. And vanadium redox batteries are interesting technology, but they've been in development for 25 years. One thing a vanadium redox battery does is, because vanadium is easily oxidized and reduced, it makes a battery that essentially has electrolytic solutions of vanadium in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not have metals, other metals. It doesn't corrode. The problem with it is it is very large volumes for the energy produced. So it may have some space applications for the solar and wind industries. In other words, because the batteries have long life and don't discharge, you could use it to perhaps smooth out or level out the daily fluctuations in solar energy producing plants and wind energy. So there's been a lot of hype about that. Even Obama came on the television a month or so ago and was promoting the idea of vanadium redox batteries. So that kind of set the market off too.
Okay. Great word, though, you threw in there, a lot of hype. And if there's one sector of the market that's got more than its fair share of hype, it is the mining sector of the market. Mickey, you've been in this business a long time. Let's wrap it up with a kind of a conclusionary comment from you on vanadium. Is this a story that investors need to pay attention to, or should they just move on to something else?
Well, personally, I would run for the exits and move on to something else that perhaps has a better profile for making money in the near term and not be dependent on some future technology and future uses.
Okay, and speaking of moving on to something else, let's wrap it up on that note, Mickey, and tee up our listening audience for what we will talk about next time out. What do you want to focus on?
I think we'll find another specialty metal to pick on. I'm kind of in that mode right now. You remember we did this last summer?
Yep.
We did three or four shows in a row where we talked about things we didn't like, and by that time we can give the uranium and copper and gold markets a little breather and come back and maybe even the rare earths and revisit them. But we'll pick on a few specialty metals here in the interim.
Okay, good stuff. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Mickey, thanks very much for this.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
Okay, that is Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.